If you'd like to turn in your Bible to the book of Hebrews, the very last chapter, we're going to finish it off today after being journeying through it for several months. And also in your bulletin, you'll find an outline of the study. And so I'd encourage you to follow that along so you can see what I'm going in case you can't understand because I talk too fast all the time. You have those physical things in place. Let's pray. Almighty God, part of our bowing our hearts and bending our knees is yielding to the instruction of your word. So Holy Spirit, as we think about thanksgiving and as we think about all that we have for which to be thankful, and we think about how it is that we can express thanks to you, teach us, mold us, and shape us. Take your word, Lord, and drive it deeply into our hearts and into our lives. That our lives can be ones that point to you. And in that give you glory. So come now and speak to us, we pray, through Christ. Amen. Well, it's Thanksgiving Sunday. And Sheen and I can't go through Thanksgiving Sunday without thanking you again for the outpouring of love that you showed us last weekend at the Norris's. And as I think about that and I think about you, I'm just reminded of the Apostle Paul in his letter to the Philippians, where he says, I thank my God every time I remember you. In all of my prayers for you, I always pray with joy. And that has been our experience for the last 30 years. And so we thank you again for your kindness and goodness to us. So we have many reasons to give thanks. And today is Thanksgiving Sunday. And if you've been listening to the radio at all, I'm sure you have. When you're driving along, I listen to the CBC. It gives me things to get mad about. And so I listen away, and they're talking a lot about Thanksgiving. And it was really interesting because as they spoke about it, a lot of it was good stuff. It was talking about families being together and traveling and so on. And very importantly, they talked about the Thanksgiving meal and how to cook the turkey right and all these different things, whatnot, and all the different traditions having to do with Thanksgiving. Just some great stuff. But what was interesting is that as I was listening to that, very little was said about exactly to whom we are to be thankful. And as I thought about that, I meditated on and realized more and more that we as believers in Christ, we understand to whom we are to be thankful. I mean, certainly we're thankful to the people that pour into our lives, and our parents, our grandparents, and aunts and uncles, and sons and daughters, and nieces and nephews, and all of these different things. And we're thankful for so many people that are on the earthly plane pour so much into us. But ultimately, of course, we are thankful to our God, to our Savior, to our Creator. And that fits very well with today's passage of Scripture as we come through the end now of this incredible book of Hebrews that we've been working through, the sermon transferred to a letter, because really what he ends up by talking about some of the reasons for which we need to be thankful for God, and then he explains to us perhaps a different way that we can express our thanksgiving, that we can live out our thanksgiving. It's a great passage. Let's read it together. Hebrews chapter 13. Starting here in the 20th verse as he closes out this sermon that we've spent the last number of months studying. Now may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, may he equip you with everything good for doing his will, and may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Brothers and sisters, I urge you to bear with my word of exhortation, my word of encouragement. For in fact, I've written to you quite briefly. It might not seem like that after I got done preaching through it for a year, but I want you to know that our brother Timothy's been released. Only time that we had any idea that Timothy was ever imprisoned. If you arrive soon, I'll come with him to see you. Greet all the leaders and all the Lord's people. Those from Italy send you their greetings. Grace be to you all. It's a great passage of Scripture. As a matter of fact, Tom Wright says that this is the crowning glory. Verses 20 and verse 21 are the crowning glory of this entire last part of the book of Hebrews, where he's applying for our life some of the incredible theology that he's just been applying to us. And a lot of churches use those words as a benediction, as a blessing, as people are dismissed. And so it's a very, very powerful passage of Scripture. Let's make sense of it by breaking it down a little bit. And we're going to look at it in two ways. First of all, we're going to look at the God who is to be thanked for it. And we're going to help but say, but what a God by the time we get done. And then the second part is, what are some of the ways that we can really give thanks in a way that bless God's heart and give him the glory that he deserves? Let's begin by thinking about what a God. The whole passage begins with the words, may the God of peace. The God of peace. Think about that for a little minute. This whole idea of tranquility of the soul, a sense that all is right and all that is well in the face of difficult circumstances. Because you'll remember that these Hebrews were going through persecution. They were facing death itself. And yet here's the Holy Spirit writing to this person saying, look, I understand what you're about to face in this next week, in this next month, in this next year. But what you need to know is that there is a God of peace that can bring peace to your heart. As I mentioned, our brother Lyle passed away this week. And I had an opportunity to be off at the hospital a couple of times. And one time the nurses were just doing some things to help him out. And we were out in the hallway and the nurse came out and spoke to Sharon and to Ian, who was there. And they said, okay, that's fine, we understand. And they went away. And Ian said, you know, some of the staff's having a bit of a hard time as to kind of how well Mum's handling all of this. Well, why is that? It isn't because there isn't sorrow. It isn't because there isn't a sense of loss. It's because the God of peace can be with us through these incredibly difficult times and bring the peace that passes all understanding to our hearts. What a God who, even in the face of persecution and death and sorrow and loss and fear and all those things, when we can get our hearts and our minds and our eyes focused on him, he can come into our lives and give us peace, tranquility, a sense of well-being, even in the face of hardship and sorrow and even loss. And this is a secure thing. Because God gives us these things and he promises us these things in an unbreakable covenant. Because you see, God is a covenant maker and a covenant keeper. That's what it says. Who through the blood of the eternal, the unending, the sure, the unchanging covenant, these things are established. We spend a lot of time talking about covenant. What in the world is a covenant? A covenant in Scripture is a deeply relational, unbreakable, unshakable agreement between God and his people. That's what a covenant is. And covenants were made by the shedding of blood to seal it, to show the power of it, to give the importance of it. And it says that Christ's blood was shed so that we'd have this unshakable, unending, everlasting, certain covenant where God establishes his relationship with his people. Where the King of the universe, this God of peace, says, look, if you will place your obedient, faithful trust in my son Jesus, then I will be your God and you will be my people. Who cares, so what? Who needs a God? Well, let's remember what this God says he is and what he does. He says that Jesus will be your high priest. And you remember that whole word for priest, what that means. A priest is a bridge. That's literally what the word means. And the whole idea is here we are as people and we're separated from God because we mess up. We rebel. We tell God to get lost. All of these things. And there's this chasm between us. Well, what a priest does is he bridges the gap between us when we muck up and the God who is righteous and pure and holy and right and gracious. And Jesus bridges that gap and allows us to go back and forth. And so God says, if you will enter into covenant with me, if you will place your trust in Jesus, then this bridge between us can be repaired, it can be fixed, it can be made right. And Jesus will represent you as a human being, as God who became flesh, who became a man, was crucified, died, buried, resurrected, and ascended into the right hand of God and sits enthroned in glory. We are represented there in the very throne room of God. And this Jesus washes away our sin. And we no longer have to live with shame and guilt. And those secret things of our hearts that maybe our spouse doesn't even need to know, that weighs on our shoulders and causes our head to be bowed low, down low, all of those things, it says Jesus can wash that away. And no longer do we have to live with the shame and the guilt of sin. More than this, God says, I will transform you. I will change you from the inside out. Not by giving you a whole bunch of rules that you've got to make sure that you live by, but by changing your heart, by transforming your very nature as the Holy Spirit works within us and causes us to become more and more like Jesus, more livers of the truth and givers of grace and mercy and compassion and righteousness. And not only that, but this God of peace will offer us peace even in the storms of life and will repair that which we thought was irreparable. Jesus' sacrificial death established and ensured this covenant. But the resurrection is what makes it eternal. Because you see, Jesus conquered death. He was led out of death. You know what's really weird? Is that everything depends on the resurrection of Jesus. The Apostle Paul said, you know what? If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, we're all stupid. We are to be most pitied above all people because we're wasting our life if Jesus didn't rise from the dead. And so here we have the central fact of the resurrection, but this is the first time in the entire book of Hebrews that it's mentioned. I mean, it talked about how Jesus is the atoning sacrifice and he's the high priest and he's the new Moses, all of those different things. But he waits until the very end to talk about this ultimate reality upon which we depend, the resurrection of Jesus, the one who was led out of death in order to lead us out of death. Even though we die, yet we will live. The power of the resurrected life. What a God. What a God. And we can't help but say, what a God. He's this God of peace. He's this one who establishes and keeps covenant when we can't keep it. And he's the one who conquers death. Now those are kind of hard words and tough realities and a little bit harsh and kind of forensic and legal and all those things. And so what the Hebrew writer does now under the inspiration of the Spirit is he's going to soften it up a little bit. And you say, all of those things are true, but let's not think about God as some distant being who just sort of takes care of business. Let's remember that Jesus is, in fact, the great shepherd of our souls. You know, we're not on the farm anymore, many of us. We don't have a whole bunch of sheep running around very often. I suppose you go up north a little bit, there's sheep on that right-hand side of the highway. I don't know what farm that is, but you kind of look out there, they look cute. But because of Jesus, we have a bit of a sense of this image of a shepherd. A shepherd is the one who takes care of all the sheep. That's us. The shepherd is the one who knows all of the sheep. The shepherd is the one who protects the sheep against any intruders and the opposition, the enemy of our souls. And it's this God, this Jesus, is the shepherd of us. He's the one that comes and looks for the ones who are lost and estranged. What a God. What a God. Conquers death, wipes away sin, cares for our soul, gives us peace in the midst of heartache. All of this stuff. What a God. So how in the world should we respond? Well, obviously, the only reasonable response is thanksgiving. And that's why we have Thanksgiving weekend, to remind us that we're actually supposed to live lives of thanksgiving because of the goodness of God throughout all of us. And so how do we give thanks? Well, to be sure, we should sing songs and give praise. But he gives us this other sense of giving thanks in this 21st verse. He says, all of these things that God is and all of these things that God does, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to ask that this be the basis of this request. And the request is that may this God equip you with everything for doing his will, and may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Christ Jesus, to whom be glory forever and ever and ever. Amen. And we can't help but think that added to our voices of praise needs to be added hands of thanksgiving. Acts, doing things according to his good will. living out His kingdom first in our lives. And when we think about that, it's a rather daunting task. This ministry of reconciliation that God has, where He says, you know what I'm going to do? Everything's a mess, and it's easy to see stuff's a mess. People are at each other's throats. We're at war with creation. Many of us are at war with ourselves within our hearts. We have disagreements with each other. And God says, your job, my job, is to bring everything back into harmony and reconciliation and perfection. It's a daunting task. It's a scary task. And yet He says, this is why you can give me thanks. And it would be terrifying and undoable except for this. The prayer is that God would make us completely equipped to carry out the task, to be made fit for the job. And the whole idea is that God says that I'm going to put in your life exactly what you need to accomplish this ministry of reconciliation. I'm going to give you the power. I'm going to give you the ability. I'm going to give you the wisdom. I'm going to give you the strength. I'm going to give you the courage to do what I'm going to ask you to do, to bring the entire creation back into the way it should be. Because that's our job. That's our calling. And by the Holy Spirit, you can undertake exactly what you need to do. Now, it's going to look different for us all. We're all going to be in different places, and the kingdom is going to flow through us in our workplaces, in our businesses, in our schools, in our neighborhoods. The way in which God does through that through you is different according to the abilities and personality and positions and situations that God puts you in. But let's not make a mistake that what God said is, no matter where it is that you're dwelling this day, no matter where it is you're going to spend your time this next week, I'm going to give you what it's going to take to be my representative, my ministers, my agents of kingdom goodness in that place. This God of peace, who's made covenants and conquered death for us, who's cursed for us as a shepherd, He says, I'm now going to give you everything you need, not to sit around and be stuffed after the turkey, which we all hope to do, but to then go from that place and understand that we are the very agents of God. We are, in fact, the hands that do His will. We are going to be doing His will by serving God, by serving people, by caring for the poor, by feeding the hungry, by comforting the mourning, by standing against injustice, by caring for creation, by proclaiming God's goodness, by setting the captives to sin and addictions free in the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what we are equipped to do. That is what we are called to do. You see, the whole idea is that to our voices, we're going to add our hands of thanksgiving. That's why you have hands, and that's why we've got all the kids' hands up here, because we need to understand that our hands are Jesus' hands. And here's our hope. It's kind of a crazy thing. It's kind of a silly thing. It's kind of, you know, immature. That's why it was my idea. That's how come I know those things. But the whole thing is to take those little foamy deals and just to be nice to me. Keep them for a week. And I don't know, put them on your fridge, throw them on your CD, your truck, or whatever it is. And just have that there as a reminder that you are the hands of Jesus. And that the way in which we can give thanksgiving to God is by living out the life of Jesus in the very places where we live, with the grieving worker, with the guy that didn't send out, with the kid that's being ostracized, whatever it is, that we are being called to be the hands of Jesus in that. And let's make this entire week a week of thanksgiving. Thanksgiving that is not just with our mouth, but is with our hands and our ears and our eyes and our mouth and our wallets and our time and whatever it takes to be the instruments of God's grace and goodness and mercy and hope in the lives of the people that He places around us. Because when we are doing that, that is true thanksgiving that brings God glory. And He gets the glory because it's not us that do it. Though we spend the time and we put the energy in, it's our hands, it is God who provides the power and effects miraculous change in circumstances into which He enters. It's a marvelous thing to become the hands of thanksgiving, doing God's kingdom work, because He's given you exactly what you need to achieve what He's calling you to do that is so much beyond us. You know, last week, as you know, Scott and I traded pulpits. I was over there at the Mission Heights campus, and they sang this awesome song. Now, I don't know if it's awesome musically, because as you know, I don't know anything about music. I just know that it was really fun to sing. But more importantly than that, the words are tremendous about this very idea and about what we're going to be looking at next as we go into the book of Acts, about how by the Holy Spirit, God's people carry out his work. And it's this great song called Build Your Kingdom Here by the Wren Collective Experiment. And let me just give you some of the words. Come and set your rule and reign in our hearts again. Increase in us. That's God building us as we pray. Unveil why we're made. It's kingdom work. That's why we're made. Come and set our hearts ablaze with hope, like wildfire in our very souls. Holy Spirit, that's this power, that's this equipping. Holy Spirit, come and invade us now. We are your church, and we need your power in us. Why? Because we're going to do this work, because we're going to give thanksgiving by becoming the hands of Jesus. We seek your kingdom first. It changes everything. We hunger and we thirst. We refuse to waste our lives on the things that the world says are the most important, which fade away quicker than you can grab them. For you're our joy and prize. And here we go. To see captive hearts released. The hurt. The sick. The poor at peace. We lay down our lives for Hezen's cause. We are your church. We pray, revive this earth, this creation. Build your kingdom here, now, through us, in glory and thanksgiving to the Creator of all the universe. That is thanksgiving. That is refusing to waste our lives on the things of the world. That is becoming the hands of thanksgiving and building God's kingdom here and now in the power of Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit who dwells within us and amongst us. That is thanksgiving. Almighty God, we have so much for which to be thankful. Our family, our friends, this incredible country, Canada, this marvelous province of ours, the abundance of this city. But above all, we give thanks for salvation. That Jesus, through his blood, has established this eternal covenant, which says that we are your people and you are our God. You are our great shepherd. And Lord, we want to live this week, this month, this year in thanksgiving by becoming your hands. We're so thankful that though you've called us to this immense task, sometimes we listen to the news and we think about situations. To be honest, Lord, sometimes it seems hopeless to us. And yet you are God, the God of peace, who can bring peace to the nations, to the people, to ourselves. Holy Spirit, come and fill us up. Let us live lives of thanksgiving as we serve in your power for your glory. Through Christ we pray. Amen.